Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Weekly Kaiju Havoc. I am your host, Cal the Kaiju Guy. So, what's up, everybody? Trying something different this morning without getting into a whole lot of the details. Whenever I walked into a disaster whenever I got in from work last night, and it involved my dogs and, yeah, so that's about as far as I'm gonna go with that, because like I said, I don't feel like getting into the details with it. And by the time I got done dealing with that, it was like 8 o'clock, and I wanted to try and, you know, I'm still trying to get back on my regular schedule and everything. And it's one of those deals to where, like, you know, the wedding's over with and all that kind of stuff, and it's just, you know, it's just bad luck, really. Where I sit there and like, man, why in the world, if something's going to happen, why does it have to happen on the day that I'm going to record my podcast? That's about how it always goes. So I had been talking about trying to record at least the Wednesday episodes, potentially even the third weekly episode, while I'm driving either to or from work, because I have a 35-minute drive to work every morning. And so I figured, well, today's going to be the day that I'm going to give this a test. So we're going to see how the audio comes out and see if hopefully it doesn't pick up too much noise from like my truck driving and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, all right, guys, let's jump right into it. I don't have a whole lot to talk about this morning, but one thing that I wanted to talk about was the new trailer for the Meg 2 has dropped, and I watched it whenever it dropped. I was at home whenever it dropped, and so I was like, okay. So I pulled it up on my TV to watch it, and I've got feelings about it, if I'm being totally honest with you. I'm not super thrilled with how they're treating this franchise, what they're doing with this franchise, because I know I've covered the first movie before on here, and I will cover the second one eventually, but I'm pretty sure I talked about in the first, whenever I covered the first movie, I am a big fan of the book series, and I've been a fan of the book series since the early 2000s, and yeah, I love the book series. It's one of my favorite ones, my favorite book series of all time. Why in the world, it seems, with this movie franchise, they've decided to go for a very cartoonish, like, not serious type of vibe. I just don't understand why. Because the book series is not that way. It's a horror series, essentially. And, you know, they're taken very seriously. Every single book in the series that I've read, not once would I ever sit there and think, oh, this is like, there's a few moments here and there, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't ever really sit there and be like, oh, this is too outlandish, or this is too that, or this is too this and everything. And, you know, I don't know. And one of the best books in the series is part two, which is just simply titled The Trench. And it deals with Jonas and the crew going down to the trench, the Mariana Trench. And this is where the Meg lives, this is where it comes from, and they encounter other creatures that are down there and all of that. And part two, honestly, would have been a good ending point for the entire series, but he decided to come back and do, Steve Alton decided to come back and do a third book a few years later called Primal Waters. and there's like a 20-year time jump between book two and book three. I've got my opinions on that, but, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, so it's one of my favorite books in the entire series. And so I was nervous, I'm not going to lie, just seeing the way that they did the first movie, the overall feel of it and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I was worried that they were going to kind of do the same thing with the second film. And whenever the trailer dropped and I watched it, and not only does it look like they did the same thing with the second film, but it looks even more cartoony and outlandish than ever before. Just to give you guys one example, in the trailer, there's a scene where Jonas is running across a dock, like a wooden dock, and the Meg is chasing him, and it's like busting through the wood, and part of the dock lays down and Jonas is laying on it. To me, it looks like a very obvious tribute to Jaws, whenever homeboy, you know, those two guys are trying to catch the shark, and they use their wife, one of them used his wife's holiday roast, and, you know, the shark, like, rips part of the dock down and all of that kind of stuff. It very much, like, gives me those kind of vibes, like, it looks like that. But there's a part where it's like, oh, this is the kind of movie we're going to make, huh? In which this Meg comes up, like, and is, like, trying to attack Jonas. And Jonas literally just sticks his foot out on the Meg's nose as a means to defend himself. And all I could sit there and think was, this is like a 70-foot shark. You putting your foot on your nose isn't going to do anything to deter that shark from eating you. And the trailer opens up saying such and such million years ago or whatever, and we see the Meg attack a Tyrannosaurus Rex. That is a nod to a cover that is on the original book, or not the original, not like the original hardcover, but one of the paperbacks. It was a revised edition. It was the edition that I got for the first time whenever I was first introduced to the book series and all of that, in which it shows a shark attacking and eating a T-Rex. And there's a part in the book where, like, you know, it goes back in time and there's an entire scene of the shark attacking a T-Rex and all of that, which I kind of need to brush up on my dinosaur history. I do not believe that megalodons and Tyrannosaurus rexes lived at the same time. Steve Alton is aware of that, and he's kind of retconned that in the comic book adaptation that happened. So that part is in the trailer, and it looks pretty cheesy. Not gonna lie, like, the T-Rex is up on the beach, and the Meg, like, it beaches itself and eats the T-Rex, and then slowly starts, like, bouncing himself back into the ocean, and, you know, but I love shark movies, I do, and I love this series, and I love Steve Alton, so I'm going to watch the movie, and, you know, I told Emily, like, whenever I watched the trailer, I said, I just need to acknowledge, like, and keep in mind that they're not going to take this franchise seriously. And if I go into the movie knowing this is going to be ridiculous, this is going to be kind of silly, I would probably enjoy it more. Just by watching the trailer, it really gave me, like, how I compared it to Her. I said, it's so ridiculous looking, some of the things that happen in there and all that. I was like, this is like Fast and the Furious, what the Fast and the Furious franchise is now, but instead of cars, it's sea monsters that they're basically dealing with. So yeah, that's my thoughts, my opinions on the new Meg trailer. Okay guys, I think I've pretty much just, I had to stop recording there for a little while, just I was trying to gather my thoughts and all of that kind of stuff, but I think I've pretty much decided I'm going to go on ahead and pull the trigger and decide the third weekly episode is coming, and I'm going to be doing it every other Monday. And the reason I'm doing it every other Monday is just to kind of test it out and see how it's going to work. And eventually, if it does pretty good, I might move it to a full-on, like, every single week or something like that. I haven't quite decided yet. But I'm doing it every other Monday because I believe I've told you guys before, based on my work schedule, I have a four-day weekend every other weekend. So, because I'm on an alternating schedule. And so, that's not this coming weekend. Like, I work today, which is Thursday at the time of this recording, and Friday, and then I'm off the weekend, but then I come back to work and work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Well, then I'll be off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and then I'll come back that Tuesday and work through Friday, because I work 10-hour days. And so I just work four 10-hour days throughout the week. And it is an alternating schedule, so I get 4 days off every other week. It's a pretty sweet deal. And so I figure I'll do it on every other Monday, on the Monday that I'm off. Just, you know, handle it the same way that I do a Saturday episode. Just come in and start recording on Monday morning. And yesterday I was kind of really starting to put together a schedule for, not necessarily a schedule, but coming up with movies and stuff like that that I really want to cover and talk about, not just movies, but also just any topics in general that I want to talk about. I've told you guys before about, I believe it was called Curse of the Undead, the vampire Western film. I'm going to be covering that first. And then my friend Eddie had suggested those three films to me, so I'm going to check those out. And then I have that individual, Manora Lore, I believe was your username, just off the top of my head. I'm going to, like, talk about the documentary Blackfish, which is the treatment of orca whales, or, well, they're not really whales, but orcas, by SeaWorld, and then dig into the fox hunting thing that's going on in the UK. And then after that, pretty much what I've decided to do, I talked about this movie after me and Emily had watched it, but I'm still kind of in the mood about it. After watching the movie, I bought a nonfiction book on the particular event, and I was already pretty well versed on the event because it's one of my favorite things to study and all of that. But I'm going to be talking about the 1925 Serum Run, otherwise known as the Great Race of Mercy, otherwise known as what people know as, like, the story of Balto. And I'm going to talk about how Balto and his sled team did extremely little by comparison to the actual hero of that particular run. That was a dog by the name of Togo, whose musher was Sepala. And, you know, there is a movie out by it, came out in 2019. It's streaming exclusively on Disney Plus, at least here in the States it is, and it's never been released on, like, video or home media or anything like that, to my knowledge, because I've looked. And yeah, it's just simply called Togo. It stars Willem Dafoe, and I'm going to talk about that movie. I'm going to talk about the actual historical event that happened with the movie. I'll talk about, like, what the movie got right, what the movie got wrong, and all that stuff. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it because, like, I love that story. I love reading about the 1925 Serum Run. People my age, you will be much more familiar with the animated film that's just simply titled Balto, that came out in the late 90s, I believe, which I like that cartoon. I genuinely do. But once you find out just how fabricated that story is, like, And obviously people would sit there and know that the story is somewhat fabricated, that Balto was a half-breed and, you know, like, he sets out on his own to go try and save the sled team and all that kind of stuff. You know, obviously that's not what really happened. But, I mean, even at its core, like, it's just... The animated film is just a lie, and it's based on lies that Balto was the hero of the serum run, and that he did more than other sled teams and all that kind of stuff. Just to give you guys one little comparison, and then I'll be done, is throughout the entire sled run, you know, they kept passing the medicine off to different mushers at checkpoints and all of that kind of stuff. And just to let you know the difference between what Togo did and what Balto did, Balto ran a total of 55 miles. He was the last one to bring the medicine in. That's why Balto ended up getting the vast majority of the credit and all that stuff, because he was the last one to bring it into the city. And so he pretty much ended up becoming the hero of the story, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But overall, Balto's team ran a total of 55 miles. By comparison, Togo and his team ran a total of 261 miles. That should let you know, like, how fabricated it is that Balto is the hero of that story, whenever it should be Togo. And Disney did try to shed some light on this by doing the movie just simply titled Togo, and it's called The Untold True Story. And after the movie's over with, it talks about how, you know, there's been statues built in honor of the sled teams and all that kind of stuff, and the most famous one is in New York. It was featured in the animated Balto film. And yes, it is of Balto. And it was not until very, very recently, only about a year and a half or 2 years ago, something like that, give or take, that a statue to Togo was built honoring what he did during the run. Oh, and by the way, Togo was 12 years old whenever he made this run. So... He was very much past his prime. But yeah, so I'm going to talk about that. But alrighty guys, that's pretty much all I've got. You know, I'm not too terribly far from work right now, but you know, I'm kind of anxious to listen back to this to see how the audio does, you know, because I know whenever I'm first coming out of Alexandria, it's one thing, the roads are really smooth, but once I get on 71 and I start trekking down this way, headed towards Bunky, the roads can get kind of bumpy, and I've hit a few bumps and I can hear things kind of vibrating in my truck. And so I'm very, very curious to see if any of that transferred into the audio. And if it did, I may have to reevaluate recording while I'm driving. Either that, or I'll just maybe hold the phone while I'm driving or something like that, or, you know, I don't know. But, alrighty guys, thank y'all. Sorry that the episode was late, but like I said, I walked into a disaster last night and it required my immediate attention, and it was too late by the time I got done dealing with it, so decided to do a test run this morning. Keep in mind, this Saturday I'm going to be covering my very first episode on, like, mythological kaiju, in which I'm going to talk about kaiju in myth and lore and stuff like that. I had talked to you guys before about how I was going to do that, like, possibly covering certain creatures from the Bible, such as Leviathan or Behemoth, covering things from various mythologies, like Greek mythology, Norse mythology, you know, talking about the Kraken, or Jormungandr, the world serpent, and all that kind of stuff. But one of the very first things that I decided to cover was something that I've been a fan of since I was, I'd say, about eight or 9 years old. And I'll tell you all the story about how I found out about its existence and all that kind of stuff. And that is the Loch Ness Monster, otherwise known as Nessie. that can, quote-unquote, be found in Loch Ness in Scotland. Very much looking forward to that. I'm a big fan of reading things about Nessie, and I like reading books about Nessie, and on the very rare occasions that they make movies about Nessie, I love watching the movies and all that. I'm a big fan of the Loch Ness Monster. Not a whole lot of lake monsters in general, but Nessie is pretty much the main one that I'm into. So, alrighty guys, this Saturday I'm going to be talking about the Loch Ness Monster. Check me out on all of my social medias. On Facebook, I'm Kaiju Carnage, a Godzilla / King Kong podcast. I have a Godzilla Ultima fan page. And then on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, I am Cal, the Kaiju guy. So, alrighty guys, again, I apologize if the audio is kind of jacked up on this episode. We'll reevaluate and see what needs to be done if it's too bad. But alrighty guys, this Saturday, we'll see y'all for the Loch Ness Monster. This is Cal, the Kaiju guy, signing out.